Okay. Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to this podcast. In today's podcast, I've invited over Shravani, who's working at Elephant Design, one of the topmost brand consulting firm in the country. And we're out here to have a conversation about UX, about her journey, about all the experiences that she has while working at Elephant, while being in the field of UX, and hopefully we'll get more things coming out of this conversation. I'm hoping this is going to be a fun conversation. So Shravani, let's just kickstart. You know, why don't you share about yourself? Maybe if you can give a brief an introduction about yourself as well.
Sure. Yeah. Yes. Hi, everyone. I think everybody's doing well in this situation. So yeah, like Vaibhav introduced, I'm Shravani, and I've been working with Elephant for 4.5 years now as a senior user experience designer. So basically, to start off with my journey, I have done my graduation in product designing. I pursued graduation. Then I worked for 2 years, and then I pursued my master's. So it has been an interesting journey, because the 2 years that I did my job, it was like an introduction for me into an industry and actually apply the knowledge and things that I had learned in my graduation. So it was really interesting for me to apply all those things also during my master's, because you basically understand how the industry works and how can you apply that in your academics and when you do the master's.
Right. That's interesting. You mentioned that you actually did product design and you went into UX. So what made you, shift into UX and not pursue product design as the career that you are doing right now?
Yeah. So while I was doing my product designing, I did come across this particular new field, that is interaction design. And interaction design is not just about, the interface or the screens where we usually interact, but interaction also comes into product. So it's not just about intangible products, but it is also about the tangible products that are there and basically how we basically interact with them. And that's how I got interested into this particular topic and this particular field. And that's how I entered this particular vertical. And since then, I have this, goal or an objective of not just designing for the intangible or the screens, but also to implement the interface or the interaction in the tangible products as well. So I took it as an opportunity to merge these two experiences and the education background that I have and take it ahead in the industry.
Right. So did you start off with Elephant only in UX, or were you working as a product designer earlier and then slowly, gradually transitioned into UX?
No. So when I completed my product designing, after that, the two years that I had the experience, there I worked as a product designer, and I did work with two different companies. One was the automotive, which was car customization, and one was a multidisciplinary. So there I worked as a product designer. And when I joined Elephant, I joined as a UX designer. So the work or the association with Elephant is as a UX designer.
Right. And, a lot of people actually are following a similar trajectory. And not just product design, but also people who have been web designers or graphic designers are also now, are following that trajectory. I remember just probably 5 or 10 years back, people hadn't even heard about UX, and they were just like, what is UX? And I clearly remember someone telling from Elephant only, our common colleague, saying that, NID, she's a pass out from NID. And she's saying that, NID is now, it can just be called NIUI and UX.
Right.
You know, that's the rumor going around
for
all the NIDians. What do you think is like fueling this? Why do you think this is happening? You know, why is this becoming like blowing up now?
Yeah, so recently or in this given years, people are more focusing on the experience that they are getting. So it's not just about, for example, buying a product or just, you know, visiting a certain place and coming back, but it's all about the experience that they achieve or they feel when they are trying to buy a particular thing online or trying to see what's going around. So it's not just about buying it, but the entire journey or the process of buying that particular product. So right. This is wherein the interface comes in, and this is where the engagement part comes in. So right now people focuses on the experience and not just the end product of it. So that is how this things has been flowing in, and that is how this particular, you know, field is coming up so far off. And
So do you think earlier when we were calling it in brand terms, you know, every brand needs to be differentiated. So is there a differentiated experience now with every brand, which is why it's becoming even more important for a company to actually invest or even look at UX and UI, and we'll get into the UI and UX difference as well later in the conversation. But do you think that's become the differentiating factor now for brands? Are they recognizing that? Do you see that kind of a conversation with the clients?
Yeah, definitely. Because every brand has a certain set of goal, a certain objective. And to achieve that, they need to have a different set of experience that they can give. Because there is a lot of competition. There are a lot of brands trying to give the same product or same kind of a service to them. But people definitely look for a brand which would give them a seamless experience, something that they don't have to, you know, fidget with, or something that is complicated. So if the brand is giving you that experience with maybe just a click far away, so that is something which they look for. So definitely every brand should have a differentiated experience, so something that the other brand is not doing, that one, just that one micro interaction, or that just one interface, or that one different offering can take them high up than the any other brand or the competitors that they might be having. So yeah, they should definitely, and I think yes, the brands are working on it. So if you look at the platforms like Zomato, Swiggy, all this, so they definitely try to keep on giving you different kind of experiences, different type of new interfaces, and even they keep on experimenting. So it is not that they have, you know, come up with some solution or come up with one kind of experience and they'll be like, okay, this is the one and we are not going to change. But they also have to evolve, and that I think you can certainly see in Zomato. Like in every couple of months you have a new interface or different type of interaction that they give. So I think that is really very important. And if you compare Zomato and Swiggy, definitely Zomato is being more active in, you know, doing the iterations, or, you know, trying to understand how the user is, you know, using that particular application. What is it that they are looking for? So yeah, definitely that counts.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, with the food apps now, really, I can say, so I've just also recently started using Cred. And earlier it was Dunzo. I would say, you know, the whole experience was amazing. But of course, like, that's a different category altogether. That's a different industry altogether. But even I just recently started using Cred, especially when the campaign started happening. You know, I just wanted to check it out. But when I started interacting with it, experiencing it, and seeing that, you know, it's so simple, and, you know, there's so many things that can be added with just the credit card bill. So, you know, since then, I've been hooked to it. I've actually, like, shopped on Cred.
Yeah, that's right. So, like, I think it's been a year I've been using this application, and it's really in terms of the experience, it is really very nice because, you know, it takes care of your credit card, and it takes care of, you know, reminding you, notifying you. And also it doesn't give you a false notification. It gives you when the time is. So right. It won't disturb you, or it won't keep on, you know, putting on the post notification every now and then. But right. Definitely with the offers that they have, the points that you earn, and that is something which keeps you hooked to it. Yeah. And the best thing is the amount that you put in for your credit is the equal amount that you receive, and that's how you can shop, and you have a lot of different and interesting offers going on. So yeah, I think that's the model that is working for them, and I think users are also liking it.
Yes. So I just want to get into your process, and mm-hmm. how do you take up a project, and what is the process that you follow? What's the process that happens with the team, with mm-hmm. your team at Elephant? Maybe if you can just walk through that also.
Okay. Yeah, so basically it is very important whenever a project comes in that you understand exactly what the brief is. And whenever you interact with the client for the first time, make sure that, you ask all the questions that needs to be, the answers that you need to start off to work or start the process of designing it. Because unless and until you're not clear about the brief, you won't be able to reach to a correct design solution. And of course, the client, not every time they would be able to, tell you exactly what they want. So you need to interact with them at a very initial stage, and not just one, but couple of times, and try to understand what exactly is their objective and what is it that they want from this particular design solution. So that is what we do. We make sure that we have 2 to 3 times interaction with the client and try to understand what exactly that they want. And that is how then we start our research part. So we would be definitely researching what exactly the brand is, what it is trying to achieve, what are the other competitors, or what are the companies or the brand doing in the same field, what is their approach. That is something that you need to understand. And for example, if the brand is already, if they have a website or they have an application already, you need to study that. And by studying, it doesn't mean that you just focus on the UI part of it or the visual part of it, because UI is something which keeps on changing as per the trend comes. So you can always, have a beautiful looking website or a beautiful looking application, but you need to really focus on what the function part of it is, the core of it. So that is how our process starts with. We always focus on the UX part first. We fix that, the functionality of it, the flow of it, and then we proceed and go towards the UI part. So while researching, we make sure that we have interviews with the user. We go through the application. We try to walk through the entire journey of the user, how it's going to be, how many clicks are there, how many clicks are needed to be. And it just takes 2 seconds or 0.2 second for a user to decide whether they are going to be in that particular website or exit that website. So you need to have that particular charm to it. So that is what we try to focus on when we are doing the research and the process. So that is what our research basically consists of. We try to understand what the user wants, also what the brand wants, what is their goal. So we can have that kind of insights, and we can approach to it towards that direction. Right. And then we have the structure in place, which we call it a sketch wireframe or low fidelity wireframe, which basically take care again of, what would be the position of the buttons or call to action, or how the flow should be, how the content should flow, because you need to make sure that whatever important content is there, that should be upfront, that should be scannable, because people don't go through each and every word that is written. They scan the website, so you need to understand how the journey would be, how the user are going to read through it or scan through it. So which are the main important things or key points that you have is highlighted, and how to basically take the the user towards the entire journey and make him reach to the objective that they have. So that is what is in focus when we do the low fidelity wireframe and reach to that particular point. And during this entire process, we make sure that we do interact with the client on regular basis, because also they need to understand how the process is going and whether, you know, we are reaching to that point. And also we understand if there is something which they also need. And that is how it helps us with the feedback and, you know, the back forth interaction that we have. And then further to it is we go ahead with the UI part of it, because like now, if the structure is in place, the functionality is in place, now we know how to, you know, make it more dynamic, how to make it more seamless and, you know, matching to the latest trends. So people exactly know how the things are flowing. So and then you basically reach to those small add value parts, like elements, like how the macro interaction would happen, what are you offering, and how basically is, you know, the brand is basically talking to the customer. That is how things are. It's not that if you see the trend, if you see other websites or any other brand, it's not that the customer have to, you know, be the active person. The brand needs to be the active person and, you know, interact with the customer in such a way that they know that, okay, I am being taken care of. That is what the customer wants, that I am being taken care of and I have been given that personalized experience of my own. Yeah. So that is how our process is, and that is how we've been working. And yes, that definitely helps.
Okay. How many times do you think a client comes back and says, because like you're saying, during once you come out with the insight and then we go into building the low fidelity wireframes. And I think when you're visualizing for a company or a brand owner who's trying to visualize the product coming to the picture, how many times does it really happen that a client comes back and says that, you know, aap bas ye bana do, you know, you know, as an international benchmark, and he's like, you know, mereko bas ye chahiye. How many times does that actually happen? And, you know, what is the struggle like over there?
Yeah, that's a tricky question. But so every client is different in their own way, because there are clients who are like, you know, crystal clear about what they want, and they'll have this belief in you that whatever you would be designing, whatever solution you would be doing, that would be best for their brand. But there are a few clients who would be always, you know, interfering with your process and try to give their input that, you know, this is how things should be or this is how you should do it. But that is where your part of convincing or your part of giving those rationale comes in. Because at the end of the day, what client or the brand wants is, it should be beneficial for their business.
Right.
Okay. So you can design, you can do everything, but if that solution is not leading them to, you know, achieve that business goal, then it's not going to help them in any way. So whenever you're designing or whenever you're having that interaction, this is the part where I would, you know, call out again that the initial briefing, when it happens, that is the time you need to, you know, have those points in place that, okay, this is what our discussion was, this is what you needed. And through this design solutions and this value addition is what is how you're going to achieve this particular, you know, business goal that you have. So yeah, that definitely happens, that they'll be like, no, you know what, this is the benchmark and, you know, this is what we liked and this is how we want it. So taking an inspiration from that is one part, and actually replicating that is one part. So this is where your creativity lies, and this is where your skill lies. So if the client definitely has something in their mind and a benchmark in their mind, but how do you apply that benchmark or those, you know, value add to their design and to their own custom brand is the main gameplay. So that is definitely a crucial and a fun way of, you know, tackling it. But at the end of the day, you definitely have to have the client satisfied. So, of course, not necessary that all your design solutions and all the things that you have proposed would be, you know, implemented. But definitely you should have at least one add value to any design solution or for any client that you're, you know, going ahead with.
Okay. So, Is there any particular project that you've done in the past that you know, you felt that, you know, this has been one of the most challenging ones? Maybe if you can just share like an experience of any particular, you don't need to name the brand per se, but probably the industry, maybe, you know, that would give an understanding of how you approached it, you know, and took up the exercise looking at what the problem was and what was the solution given at the end of the day. Probably if you could just, you know, share some any project that you think that really challenged you as a designer.
Yeah, sure. So we had to design a desktop software application for basically for stroke patients. So that was something which was challenging in terms of the design solutions or the process that you follow or the
stroke patients.
Yeah.
Okay.
So basically this application was designed for them to, you know, get back to a normal, you know, functioning of their part that has been paralyzed. So it can be, you know, your right hand, or it can be your, you know, basically the nervous system that basically breaks down. But as you have physio in the similar way, this was an application which would help them basically start functioning and, you know, start actually using your hand, because you need to practice, you need to do that kind of exercise. So this was something which would be an engaging model for them, which wouldn't be a boring or a boredom for them, that, you know, a person would come in, take up your exercise and just go. So this application was basically for them to have it in a playful way and also to record how the progress has been. So that has been a challenging project for sure, because here you're, you know, making the application aesthetic or, you know, applying something which is trending is not going to work, because here your focus is a patient who would be of, especially if, I mean, especially the target group who would be in the senior citizen range. And for them, you can't, you know, come up with something which is very trendy or something which is, something that which would be for, you know, including the all the target group, but you need to think of a design which would include all the target group and which would be entertaining and helpful for all in the range. So here the challenge for us was, how can we make it engaging and how can we make it more functional, because this is something which is not a, no, you know, it's not a website that you would be just come, you'll browse and you'll buy a product. This is something that you would be using daily. And it should be something which they would be happy to use and evolve through it and reach to a moment where they no more need that kind of application and now they can be independent enough. So, yeah, so keeping the flow, the mental state of those patients and how basically can we come up with an interface with the functionality and the placement of call to action or the placement of the features that they have, how can we make it user friendly for them, how we can make it flexible for them, was the biggest challenge. And this project basically we also did the product part of it, the arm gear, the head gear that we have, so that was in sync with it. So that was something which was very helpful for us to work as a team, to collaborate and understand how the tangible and the intangible part is going to work and, you know, interact together and how we can create a good ecosystem for the patient and take it ahead for the patient and as well as for the doctor who are, you know, taking through the entire therapy. So yeah, that is how this project has been.
So basically the digital interface as well as the physical product both had to, in a way, merge together to
correct
experience altogether, and that too for a senior citizen group that you're saying. So did the product you know, because you are a product designer yourself. So did the product design come first in a such a scenario, or was it the digital interface that was driving the product design, or was it happening parallelly? And were there was it happening parallelly, and was it did it happen in a longer duration of time? Was it what was the challenging part in terms of visualizing the entire the experience that was there for this? Because it's a very functional usage. Correct. For this. So how did it go about with the product design and the digital interface together?
Yeah, so like a project like this needs a good collaborative approach to this. So that is how we had approached to this project. And we used to have this workshops and brainstorming session where we can, basically first try to map out how things should flow and how basically these things are going to function. So definitely the product design part started before, earlier, because that is something which the patient is going to wear. And we need to understand the ergonomics of it. We need to understand how basically the sensors are going to work and how that basically will get connected to the digital interface. So definitely the process of product designing started earlier, and then simultaneously we started working on the digital part of it and the application of it. So both the parts are in sync, and we could also test like if a particular part has been in use and how it is reflecting, because when basically there's a movement, then how it is reflecting on the interface, is it happening in real time, is it taking the correct values that should be in place. So that is how the process had been, and it has always been that experimental and iterative process, because we need to understand, we need to test it at every moment how this is happening, and whether it is coming to that accuracy that is needed, because we can't go wrong in this particular sector, which is related to health right. domain. So yeah, definitely it has been challenging, and like we still work with them, and they still have this test going on with the patients, and every time if there is anything that needs to be done, we still keep on evolving it and we still keep on iterating on it. So this is something which would always be an iteration method. Design can never be something that would have a full stop, because the needs increase, the needs change, and looking at that particular thing would definitely change. So
what I really like is you said that design is an iterative process, and I think it's something that needs to keep on evolving as needs change, like you mentioned. So yeah. I really like that bit. And, I think that's the most challenging bit when it comes to taking up any project. I'm sure that is the challenging bit. So, I want to, go to my next question. Coming back to UX and UI, I know we've been having that debate, what is UX and what is UI? Are they the same? Is one under the other? What is the major difference between them? So what are your, maybe if you can, expound on that a little bit.
Yeah. So yeah, there's definitely a difference between UX and UI. It's not the same thing at all. And user experience UX is majorly, it focuses on the user experience, and the functionality part of a certain application or the website or the product. So the main focus when you in UX is understanding the user, understanding their behavior, observing what exactly they want, because not every time the user can tell you what they actually need. They can't give you on a plate and tell, this is what I want. That is something that you need to observe through their behavior, through, you know, stepping into their shoe and understanding what exactly they are looking for. So, of course, it is not something that if a user says that this is what I want and I'll do it. You need to understand whether you, you know, is there a particular reason to it, and how would it help, or why do they want it? So all these questions are basically answered in UX. To understand the entire process, to understand what the user would be gaining from the design solution, and how the brand would be benefiting, why would the user come to this particular brand and you know, try to complete their task or try to buy a particular product, why would I go to Amazon and why won't I go to Flipkart? So these all questions are basically answered in UX. You need to basically have a structure in place. You need to understand the flow of the entire application or the website, of how things are going to flow. And that is how you can actually reach to the point where you help give a user-friendly experience to them. So these critical points needs to be answered before you jump to the UI, because UI would take, basically UI would be answering or taking care of, you know, how you in, basically showcase your functionality and your elements put together in a way that they would perceive it and they would, you know, like to get engaged with. But unless and until you don't have the structure in place, you won't be able to build a great UI experience. So I think that is very important to always address the functionality part of it, and how basically the application is going to run. So of course, there are, you know, few companies or in the industry that they would, you know, do a quick run for UX and they'll jump to UI, or given the time, if they have less time constraint, then they'll basically just skip the UX part and they'll try to make a better UI. But that would be something which is a short term, and it won't help for a long run, because somewhere or the other, you tend to miss the goal of the brand and of the customer. So there are high chances that the customer would, you know, not be the loyal customer and maybe switch to another brand which is giving them a better experience. So from my experience, I really feel that the UX should be of high priority, and then the UI, because that's how the flow should be. And even if you plan of, you know, taking care of UI first and going back to UX, that is never going to work, because even if you go back and if you do the reverse engineering, it is just going to make you do the work all over again. Because when you try to understand the entire objective of it, you definitely would be changing your UI as well. So yeah, I feel that UX is something that should not be, you know, neglected, or should have that importance and taken up seriously before, you know, jumping to a UI or jumping to something making it more aesthetically appealing. Yeah.
So would you say that UX is more the strategic component, and UI is in a way it gives you the expression of the product, or the design and the creative aesthetic of the product? So would it be right to actually segregate both of them in that way?
Yeah, you're right. So basically that is how things work. So in UX, you basically set up the entire model for that the brand, the product or the service, like, you know, how this, which are the components that are important. What are the stakeholders that would be, you know, using this particular application or the product, and how they are going to be benefited to this solution that you're giving to the entire model. So the backend or the structuring is something that you need to put in place first. So yeah, when you talk about having a model set or a strategy, that is what you do in UX. And then how you basically present it to the customer would be the UI part, because not all the things can be shown or are visible in the UI design, because some of the design solutions are invisible, which are also very critical. Right. So like if you take up an example of Apple, that is what Apple products do. There's a certain way of using Apple products. And when you start using Apple product, it not consciously help you change the way you use it, but as you start using it, it is a subconscious way of changing and using a particular product. And that is why people feel it difficult when they shift from iOS to Android or from, you know, Windows to iOS. So that is where the difference falls. But you need to really understand how the habits or how the behavior of the user is. So there are, like, whenever, even if you look at recently, if you have seen in the Instagram, they had done this new change. So initially they had a plus button in the bottom navigation, and they shifted the icon with reels, and the plus button was shifted to top. So there was a lot of debate and a lot of, you know, disappointment and usage thing. So they were not quite happy with it, because that is what the user were used to and habitual to. So even if you're doing a design change, you need to be very cautious about doing that. So you can't just directly do the shift change in such a drastic way. Even if you want to do certain change, if you do it gradually, that would help them understand and be used to it and then switch to it. So if you do something which is a drastic change, then they won't, not all customers would take it in a good way, or they'll be like, okay, I don't think I'll be any longer using Instagram. And that is what we don't want. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that is something that needs to be done cautiously.
Right. What's your personal take on the whole Instagram shift? I know there have been so many responses out there, what was your personal take on it when they actually put out those icons on the bottom and they changed the whole, the placement for it?
For Instagram, or as a brand, or as biggest social media platform, of course, even they keep on experimenting new things. And if you observe, there were a lot of changes done before that, but they were done gradually. They were not done in a drastic way or in a sudden way or something which would be completely different. But this was something which I would say was an experiment that even they were looking up for, and how the customers would interact to it and what would be their comments on it, which didn't go in a good way, I would say. But apparently that is what they had to do after all the feedback that they received. They had to come back to the same interface and place the icon at the place where it was before, because that is what it counts, what the user is actually, you know, trying to understand. So recently, if you see all the brands or any application, they definitely look up to the user data and try to analyze what exactly is happening. That is where, you know, machine learning comes in place. And even if you look at Netflix, that is how basically the back data works on, because they keep on observing, they keep on studying how the user is interacting, what are the kind of what are the kind of content they are looking for, what is kind of new features or trends they are looking for, and that is how basically the content is kept in place, or the interface has keeps on changing and keeps on evolving. And that is why design cannot be ever said that, okay, now it's complete and it's done, because you keep on evolving, you keep on changing, and new things comes up, and that is how you have to match with them and their needs. So yeah, that has been also one of the biggest trend that has been going, that you should always keep in check how the user is interacting, what is it they are looking for, and then do the design or do the interface according to their needs and not the other way around.
Mm-hmm. So, speaking of trends, what do you think are the new trends for the coming year? Is there any particular trends which you are predicting that will come back, or there's something that you're seeing in the forefront, considering the projects which are happening, or the new products which are coming up in the market? So, what do you think are the new trends that are now going to come in the coming year now?
So one of the trend that would be one of the, which has I think already started and which would again still go to a higher level, is the animation or the videography that is built in a website or in application. Like earlier, if you could see, you would have banner or you would have images which would be static, But if you currently look at the websites going on right now, or the application that are going on, they just don't have images, but they have the motion images, and they have those small clips which would, you know, explain the product or explain what the brand is about. So that is a different kind of experience that has been given. And it's not not only now about just browsing the website, but basically interacting with it. So when you scroll, when you click, or when you go to a certain page, there would be a different kind of interface that is happening. There's a different kind of motion graphics that would be taking place, because that is what the demand has been coming up, the experience and basically the interacting with the website. So that's a way of basically showcasing your brand and basically reaching out to the users that this is what our brand would be giving you, or this is what the app would be doing. So it's like from day one, or the point when you start come to that particular website, is when you start understanding and start interacting with the brand itself altogether. So I think that is a trend that would is going on, that and that would be something that I would be looking forward to, and work towards that as well, because when it comes to the clients coming in, we always try to give them a picture and try to make them understand this is how things are going to flow, and this is how you need to implement for a better engagement with the users. So yeah.
Awesome. I just want to get into another segment of since you've been working on Elephant for quite some time, so what has been your experience working in a consultancy or an agency versus, you know, working in, say, in a startup or in a corporate? You know, what has been the experience like, and, you know, why should someone actually work in a design agency, and you know, what would be the pros and cons according to you?
Yeah, so with Elephant, it has been an incredible journey for me. And being a design agency, it's one of the biggest, you know, opportunity that you have, is you can work with each and every team. You can collaborate with each and every team and try to understand each other's perspective. And so whenever there's a project that comes in, it is never like, for example, if a project comes for digital or a project comes for product, it never happens that only that team is working on that project, or, you know, that is the only team who would be doing the ideation part. We always make sure that we have you know, different people from different departments and giving their inputs, and not necessarily all the designers, but also non-designers. Like, it can be a person from business development, it can be a person from product managing department, because each and every one has something or the other input to give and look at that particular you know, problem in a certain way. And it always helped to collaborate, discuss, and, you know, come together and come out with a great design solutions. So that is how our practice has been. That is how the practice goes in Elephant, that you make sure that you collaborate and come up with a great, amazing design solutions. So that is something which I really like about design agency. And of course, the strategy part, the research part, everything is like, is put in place prior to coming to the actual, be it a packaging design, or be it a user interface, or be it the UI. So that is something which is really very interesting, and there are a lot of things that you can learn. And you basically are on the same level or same ground when it comes to discussion. So you need not, you know, have a permission, or you don't need to. It's not that you just discuss with a colleague who is next to you, but you can actually go and discuss the same thing with the directors, or sit together, have that conversation, and come up with great design solutions, discuss design, understand how things are going. And also, even if I'm in digital, that doesn't mean...
I think in agencies, it's a much more informal environment, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And I think, and the approachability is much more with... people from at every level.
Yeah, and it's also important because like, even if I'm in digital department, that doesn't mean that I need not know about what's happening in graphic designing, what's not happening in product designing. There's always something or the other to learn, and there's always, you never know from where the inspiration can come. Unless and until you talk, unless and until you go out and, you know, try to understand what all is going on. The solution or the inspiration can come from anywhere. And that is how it helps you to, you know, basically sit together and come up with a good design solution. So I think that is really very interesting when it comes to a design agency. So, yeah.
What do you think, you know, for someone as a UX designer, what do you think, what would be your advice for someone who may be looking at joining a corporate setup and not a design agency? What would be your suggestion for an aspiring designer who is looking to, say, join a startup, or someone who is just into who's a startup and now has just built its way up? You know, I'm just throwing names like a MobiQuick or a FreeCharge or a lot of meditation app businesses have also now sprung up in the pandemic. So what would be your advice for someone who's aspiring to join a workplace which is on a corporate, at a corporate level, which is just dealing with just one particular brand?
So it's not something that you can choose from, in terms of like, I can't, just say that, you know, design agencies are the best and the corporate won't work. It all depends on how basically the work environment is and how, the structuring or the how team is basically working, how the system is working together. So for example, even if, like what I have observed through my experiences, because even I have done a lot of internships before, joining in at Elephant. So when it comes to the corporate companies, they are not very much aware of UX, and they are not being taken so much seriously or at priority when it comes to design solutions. So like even if you're a part of that particular company, it's all on you how you basically put forth this particular recommendation or ideas to them, or how important UX can be, because you being a UX designer, you have that ability, you have those skill sets, and now that you have studied and you know how things work, it's all on you how you convince them and how you put that point ahead and take care that the UX part is not done in a swift or that much amount of time is given to them. So it is really very important as a UX designer that you put forth your point and lead a particular strategy and take it ahead. So that is how you could, basically build in. So definitely there are differences in agency, design agency and corporate, but it all depends on the designer and how you basically approach and take your proposal ahead.
Right. It has to be more independently driven. Versus taking up working in a design.
Yeah, because you need to make them understand the benefit of it.
Right.
You need to make them understand the benefit of it, or how it's going to basically make a difference to them as a company and also as a brand. Because it's not that we've done work for a particular client and that is the end of it. You still have the association with them, and you still expect that you could, work with them again, or you could have a different referencing from them and everything. So if you do any kind of add value to that brand, and if they're benefited with them, that is the most satisfying thing that any, designer can have, that, okay, because of a particular design solution that had been given, this is how the brand is coming up and they have benefited through it. So that is the best satisfaction that you can have. Mm-hmm. So yeah, definitely.
Awesome. So, during the whole process of, right from user research up till the end of the, deliverable of the product, what's the most, if I have to ask you, the favorite aspect for you of that project, where you really enjoy the most? Is it the more you know, the UX and the strategic part of the project, or is it when the entire wireframe and the mockups and everything is done? So which is the most favorite aspect of the entire process for you in the entire project duration?
So actually there are two aspects that I enjoy the most. Mm-hmm. One is basically the ideation part, right. From the insight to the ideation, because all the research that you have done, and then when you try to, you know, find those small critical things through observation, through your research, what are the insights, what are they trying to say, and then taking it ahead as an approach and as a design solution. That is a very interesting process, because you try to understand the need of it, and you're trying to understand what is it that the user was not able to tell, but you are able to understand it before, right. Like, you know, instead of they telling you directly, you know, this is what I want ABC, but through your entire observation, the entire study, you understand, okay, it's not just ABC, it can also be an X. And that is very critical, and that is a very satisfactory part stage when you actually understand that, okay, this is how things are and this is how the solutions can be. And then, of course, when you come to the high fidelity wireframe, when you actually put everything in place and when you actually give life to that particular, you know, solution or the insight that you had, that is a very interesting process, and the transition that you can see, because you can see that seed growing up and actually coming up to something. And then when everything is placed and everything is in place, and then you finally see that project live and you can see people using it, that is something that you, you know, achieve at the end of the day.
Right. Awesome. What tips can you give for, you know, budding UX designers, and any experiences that any suggestions or tips that you would want to share for budding UX designers?
Yeah, well, I would say that for any aspiring student who is, you know, trying to perceive this particular field, I would say that always try to gain some experience, be it internships, be it freelancing, be it a short-term job, whatever it is. But I feel it is really very important to have an experience, be it a good one or be it a bad one. Not a bad one, but for example, if there's something, there's a solution that you proposed and it failed, there's nothing wrong in that. Because with every experience, you learn something. And very few people pay attention to this, that also understanding what not to do is important. That experience is also important. So whenever you can, you know, have that opportunity to have some kind of experience, be it small, be it big, it helps you to understand it in more practical way. You tend to understand how things actually are working, because when you are in academics and when you are learning, there are a lot of hypothetical scenarios that is going on. But once when you enter an industry, you actually try to understand and you learn what are the other three factors that would affect your design, or considering those three factors, is your design solution still the best? So it really helps you to do that. Then we should definitely have a hobby apart from designing, or about apart from doing a job. Because hobby can be anything, not necessary it should be of designing, it can be anything, because it helps you to, you know, grow, and it helps you to think in a more wide way. It also helps you to, you know, basically implement those things that into design. So it's not like if you just keep on studying about design, or if you just doing projects about design, it's just going to keep you on one particular loop. But when you have something apart from that, it gives you a satisfaction of doing something productive apart from your actual work that is going on, because that is your daily routine. So that is something I would also suggest, that you should, of course, take up a hobby and do it regularly as much as you can. And I think you should explore, go for adventures, and gain inspiration, because you can't get inspiration sitting in one place. So yeah, definitely you should do that.
Awesome. So what kind of hobbies do you have, just to, you know, keep your mind fresh and, you know, have different perspectives? So what are the kind of hobbies that you've picked up?
Yeah, so I one of my hobby is I do gardening. So That is something which is like a daily ritual for me. Like I'll wake up and first thing is what I'll check on my plants, how they are growing, what is needed, what is not needed. Apart from that, I also have my own illustration that I keep going, keep on doing. So I have a separate page for that on Instagram. So I pursue that, I do that.
You can just share the name of the page as well for all the listeners to.
Yeah. The name of the Instagram handle is Shrav Art. So this is where I do my personal illustrations and sketching as my hobby. And like after a day's work, when you do something apart from that, it is, you know, something which is like in peace with you that yes, you did something apart from the actual work that you have. So yeah, this is what I've been doing. And of course, on weekends, now, of course, we have this lockdown situation, but I do make sure that I go out and, you know, try to be around people and try networking and also go towards nature and try to find inspiration, because that's the best way that you can. Because, of course, at the end of the day, even mind needs that fresh air and look at different perspective. So, yeah.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Just to, you know, not to have that block. And
yeah.
I think in order to stay productive, you need to, you know, productivity doesn't always mean that you're just doing the same thing at a longer duration of time. I think that break is needed to, you know, just to give that kind of a different perspective to the work. And I think the work also, in a way, it impacts on the work itself.
Correct, yeah.
When you have other things on the plate other than just the work, and then that inspiration just does reflect on the work itself then at the end of the day.
Definitely, yeah.
So how do you, in terms of, you know, the design trends and, you know, what's happening out there, you know, what are the new things that are happening? How do you stay abreast with what's happening out there? How, you know, what are the kind of blogs or you know, websites, or are there any content heroes that you have of your own that you follow? Maybe if you can share some with us as well.
Yeah, so for me, like I keep on looking for different blogs or articles. So you have this different pages, like you have UX Matters, you have UX Magazine, and you have those top trend going on. In, like, I think in 2 months, you have those new trends which are going on. That helps you keep in loop, and that helps you to understand what things are happening. And also, there are pages on Instagram of the same, you know, UX pins and UX ideas. So people definitely have a different way of showcasing and pursuing a particular thing, a particular design solution for a problem. And it is really very interesting. And also they give you a lot of tips of how to go about it, be it designing a particular button, or be it how to basically, you know, answer a particular design problem. So they have a lot of incredible and interesting, simple way of showcasing them. So yeah, definitely that is something which I look forward to, or I go through. So I am in, you know, updated with the trends. And of course, while you're using any application, I think observation is really very important. So even if you're Instagramming, so when you're uploading a photo, you still need to observe how you're doing that, because it is such a small change that you won't understand if you don't observe it. But there are a lot of change which keeps on happening on application. So that is one way of understanding and observing things, because not all things are said out loud. So yeah, I think that is something as a designer we should practice, that you need to have the observation on point, or observation strong. Wherever you are, because the design mind never stops. So wherever you are, in whichever environment space you are, I think the observation part should always be active, and because that's what is going to help you to design, you know, great solutions.
Right. Absolutely. The observation, you need to have a really keen observation on and a pulse on what's really happening out there, just to keep updated on what's happening. Who are your maybe design heroes is the right term, or design mentors? Who do you say are, you know, the people that you really look forward to and, you know, constantly follow on what they're doing and what work they're doing? Are there any design heroes that you have?
Yeah, so my top heroes are Don Norman and, of course, Steve Jobs. Because Don Norman actually came up with those interesting UX principle that we follow in our everyday life while designing or coming up for solutions of for any project. So he basically talks about, you know, how to understand the user and how to basically tackle the strategy part of that particular project and then shift to the UI part. So there are really very interesting articles about him, and he also has his website on his own, so definitely people can check the articles and the tips over there as well. So that is something very interesting. And Steve Jobs, of course, because he was one of those designers who didn't go asking to the users that, you know, what do you want? He actually created that for them. And it was something like, oh yeah, this is what I wanted. And that is really very, you know, important, or something which was kind of a discovery that, yeah, you need not ask the user every time what they want. It's all about what kind of experience you're trying to give them. And I think he has achieved it through the products that we see.
Right, absolutely. Well, it's been great. Is there any message that you'd want to give to, you know, people who are looking to enter into this field, or their parents who are actually looking out, you know, for their children to enter and start a new career in UX? Is there a message that you have that you can, you know, tell them about why this field is up and coming? I'm not going to put words, but what would be the message that you would want to give to such people, to the youngsters as well, and to their parents as well?
Yeah, so I would say that this field is definitely very interesting, and there's much to learn in this, but this is not something which would be an easy go. It is something which needs very much, you know, understanding about it, having that particular foundation about how basically UX UI works, because you can't mix up with, you know, just a UI or something which is a visual design. This is something really very serious, because your design solution, I mean, the users are dependent on your design solution. And if your design solution goes wrong, definitely there would be a dissatisfaction for the brand and for the users as well. And when we talk about the experience, it definitely should be something which would they would be happy about and people would talk about. So yeah, definitely people who are pursuing this, students who are looking for this, and parents who are really confused about, you know, whether this is a good field or not. Definitely, this is an amazing field, because you still keep on learning. Like till today, even I learned something new about the user, about any design. So yeah, I think you should just go ahead and pursue your dreams and work hard towards it.
Nice. Thanks. For everyone, what would be the best place to reach out to you? How, if anyone wants to stay updated with what you're doing, you know, to reach out to you, or how can they reach out to you?
I think I'm most active on Instagram. So I think they can reach out to me at either Shrav Morningstar or Shrav Art. Okay. So these are two pages that are there. So definitely you can get in touch with me on that particular pages and also see the latest update there.
Right. Okay. Thanks so much, Shravani. Thank you for you know, spending time on this interaction, and I hope you know, a lot of the youngsters, a lot of budding UX designers as well as UX designers, I think you know, this is a good learning interaction that they had, they would have from our interaction today. Any last message, any sign up before we sign off?
No, I would say thank you, Vaibhav, for, you know, having me and giving me this opportunity. And you don't have to be that serious. You can enjoy this process and, you know, go ahead with designing, because design is a fun process and not a serious process. So, yeah, I think that's all I would say.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, everyone. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll hopefully put all the links. We'll put all the links once we publish this video out there. And you know how you can reach out to Shravani as well. Stay tuned to many more podcasts with us. Thank you.
Thank you.